Good evening.
Good evening.
I thought Kim was coming up to give the message. I was just gonna hang out. I didn't plan this at all, but Kim mentioned inviting people and us growing. And we haven't really had these before, but we've got a couple different invitation cards. One's for Wednesday night specifically. Those who came out, we had about 30 people 2 weeks ago Wednesday before the bad weather came, but it was awesome. It was a really great time in the Lord. So we've got these for Growing Hope on Wednesday nights if you want to invite somebody to that. And then this is just a general purpose invitation card for Here's Hope. So if you want to take one for yourself, just as a reminder, and then also the new monthly calendars. But I think, is Mark still here? Yeah, Mark's going to tell you about that later. probably, I don't know. And I want to encourage my mom too and just let her know that her prayers are powerful and effective. Because I was pretty thoroughly lost and you kept praying for me and here I am. So your prayers are being answered in God's timing. So, yeah. Let me pray for us. Holy and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your incredible love for us. God, thank you how that is revealed in your word, especially in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. God, thank you for your expression of love in and through your church. God, thank you for all the blessings that it is to be part of your family, not only to be loved by you, but to love each other, God. And Father, we do pray for growth in the church, not only in breadth, numerically, God, but that you would help us to grow inwardly, God, that our spiritual health would deepen, Lord. And we pray that that would happen tonight as we get into your word. Father, we just lift this time up to you again, just offering you our love, our praises, our attention to your word, our prayers, God, our offerings, all these things, God, that you would just work through them to build your family, to use your church, God, in this community to have an impact. God, we just pray that you would bless this time, that you'd speak to us through your word, by your Holy Spirit, in a way that only you can do, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really like to drive. Maybe some of you guys enjoy driving too. I like to fly also. I just like to travel, regardless of what the destination is. I just like the process of getting somewhere. So I want to do a quick poll. I'm just curious. So say you're going to travel 500-600 miles and you could take a flight if you want and get there quickly, or you could drive and you got plenty of time. That's not really a factor. Who would rather fly? You just rather get there. Okay. Who would rather drive? Few of us. Yeah, I'm one of you weirdos that likes to know. Yeah, I don't even have to have a destination. I just like gassing up the car and going. In fact, my first marriage, my wife Molly, who passed away many years ago, for our honeymoon, we had two basic themes for our honeymoon. One was stopping at every Cracker Barrel that we came across along the way, and I think we hit like 7 or 8 Cracker Barrels on our honeymoon in different states. And the other one was just driving. We didn't even have a destination most of the time. We'd wake up in the morning, a lot of times we'd camp out, and we were just like, direction today, and we just, that way. And we just drive until we need to fill up the tank or whatever, and all over this part of the U.S. And it was in the last century and probably just a hippie thing, but we had a great time. I mean, it was so much fun. It was great. And back then, we didn't have apps. We didn't have cell phones or anything like that. So to get anywhere, if you wanted to go to a specific place, and there were a few places that once we got like to a particular state, we're like, oh yeah, let's go check out whatever. So we needed to get out a map, and it was made out of paper. So some of you older folks would remember paper maps, and there was a book called an atlas. Did you guys have an atlas? Full of maps, this book of maps. We'd get them at Walmart. They were like $7, and they would sell it to you cheap, even though there's all these maps, because it told you where all the Walmarts were, and they were hoping you'd go there. So it was just a cool thing to go on a road trip, to have an atlas, and to just find places. And part of the process was you had to have not only a driver, but a navigator. Usually, you'd have somebody else there who's navigating, and that's the map reader. And they have to, it was like kind of like an app, only better than an app, because it's a human. And it was fun because sometimes they would screw up and you'd end up in places you didn't mean to, but it was just part of the adventure. But hopefully the navigator was good at map reading and good at communicating where the exit was before, you know, exit 144, yeah, you should have taken that one, you know, as you go past. And then hopefully the driver would actually listen to the navigator. And sometimes you'd switch off sometimes depending on the people and what their skills were. But if you had a navigator who couldn't read a map well or communicate in a timely, clear way, you could end up way off from where you intended to be. The Christian life is a lot like a road trip. We have a shepherd who wants to guide us. In fact, God actually he's the ultimate navigator because he's the only one who has any idea where you're supposed to go. You may think you know where you're supposed to be, but God is the one writing your story if you're a Christian. So he's the only one who knows how to get you there and where you're supposed to get to. And if you're part of his flock, if you're part of the family of God, he wants to guide you on your way. But he's not the only one wanting to influence your direction. The world and the devil and your own stinking thinking, your flesh, want to get you off track intentionally, want you to go the wrong way. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I invite you to look up the scriptures as we go, the different references. There's going to be several, though, and I'm going to go through them somewhat quickly. So if you'd like to speed dial through your app or your Bible, you can. If you want, you can just look up on the screen. We'll have slides, and then maybe if there's something that speaks to you that the Lord's using, just write down that scripture address in your bulletin there, and you can look this up later as we go if we're going pretty quickly. Most of these I'm going to use the New International Version, unless otherwise noted. One of the few Christian symbols for Jesus and those that follow Jesus, going back to the first century, is that of a shepherd and his sheep, a lamb. I think I've got a slide for that. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us, I think, maybe assume that the cross has just kind of always been the Christian symbol. That's not actually true. There's been a lot of different symbols over time. The Alpha and Omega symbols for Christ, of course, the ichthus, the fish symbol, and several others. And depending on what historian you're reading from, they're going to tell you that those all came about at different times. But most Bible scholars believe, most historians believe, this may have been the first symbol for Christ and for Christians, the shepherd with a lamb. This is also one of the favorite images in the Old Testament in Psalm 100, starting in verse 1, speaking of the relationship that God and his people have. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, Isaiah is declaring this prophecy, and he says, he tends his flock. He's speaking of the Messiah. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Speaking of Jesus, the Messiah's care for his people. He gently leads those that have young. And then one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ in the New Testament found in John 10, and he's describing himself here. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So this evening we're going to be looking at this truth of Jesus being the good shepherd and us being his flock. And I know for some of us, if you grew up in church or you went to Sunday school, that's kind of a cliche thing. You might think of like the old flannel graph and the little fuzzy sheep there and the little shepherd and all that. And that was cute, but in God's Word, this is just such a beautiful truth, and it goes beyond being cute or being a cliche. It's a divine truth that God wants us to lay hold of about our relationship with him and his care for us. And so, you know, when God describes our relationship, this is a reality that he wants us to really lay hold of and live our lives in light of this. He wants us to apply to our thinking that he is our shepherd. And whatever circumstances we're in, this is a truth that we can stand upon. So the first thing we're going to recognize from God's word is that the good shepherd provides for the flock. The good shepherd provides for the flock. And that means God provides for you. God provides for you. And you don't have to question that. Jesus called his followers, including us, his little flock, in Luke 12, starting in verse 31. And part of the reason he's saying this is that he knows that we're prone to fear. You know, we're sheep living in a world full of danger, where there are wolves and there are lions and there are predators, there's enemies, and he knows that we're prone to worry because we think about our own sufficiency. Sheep aren't that strong. They're not all that awesome. They're not even all that intelligent. But we've got a good shepherd, and so he gives us this assurance. The Lord says, but seek his kingdom. Seek God's kingdom. And these things will be added to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because he knows we're prone to this. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near, nor moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus assures us here to know for sure that the Father is generous to us. And he is giving everything we need. He provides everything we need. All of our things with temporal needs, whether it's clothing or food or shelter or relationships or whatever it may be, we have a promise from God. He's saying, listen, he is glad to give you not only that, but to give you his kingdom. To give you part of his kingdom, that you are part of his family and you abide in his plan and in his kingdom and you're part of that. And Jesus also gives us an instruction here. He says, but guard your hearts. Guard your hearts from fear and from worry by taking this action step. And he gives us a step here of expressing our trust in him, and it's a step of generosity. He says, don't worry about you. Instead, take the focus off of you and live out the fact that you're part of my kingdom generously. You can trust me. And he's saying, I'm giving you a step here to put me to the test. Trust me and see if you don't give, if I don't take care of your needs, you don't have to worry about taking care of you because I'm taking care of you, God says, as our shepherd. And the irony is, because it's counterintuitive, is that we think that we need to take care of us. We think my talent needs to promote me. My reputation needs to be about me. My promoting of anything needs to be about myself. The money that I have or the relationships that I have, or I need to leverage what I can to take care of me so I can be okay. And God says, no, give it away. He says it's the opposite of that. If you try to take care of you, that's what will end up causing fear and worry and chaos in your life because you can't depend on you or your stuff. You'll let you down, but he won't. When we trust in the great shepherd to provide for us, instead of our money, instead of our possessions, instead of our best thinking and our best planning, when we do that, here's what we find. We find that we have a shepherd who's bigger than your problem. We have a shepherd who's bigger than your emotions, who's bigger than your dysfunctional relationship, who's bigger than your sin and your past and your weaknesses, that he's greater than all that. And when we trust in him, we find out that he watches over us, he guards us, he rescues us, he frees us from the things that trip us up. And because of him, we overcome, not because of ourselves. Another thing is to recognize that God calls under-shepherds into our lives to provide for the flock. God calls pastors to provide for you and for me. I don't know if you guys realize this, but pastors have pastors too. Or they should. If they don't, they need to correct that ASAP. I've got a lot of great pastors in my life. We all need people in our life that God has chosen to put them there who are trustworthy, who love you, and who are there to help you in your walk. Because it's God provided. In the Old Testament, the priests and the prophets were called the shepherds of Israel. They were the shepherds of God's people. When Paul spoke to the leaders at Ephesus, he made reference to this relationship between the leaders and the people, calling them shepherds over God's people. Peter, as he approached the end of his life, he used these same terms. He talked about the spiritual leaders and the people of God. And he said, these spiritual leaders that God has put among you are under shepherds. They're there. God has placed them there to help you and to care for you. And in the New Testament, the church is often spoken of again and again as being a flock, as being God's collective flock. And he sends shepherds. Pastor means shepherd, to come into our lives as an instrument of God's grace. Some of the last comments to Peter following the resurrection of Jesus, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture for a lot of reasons, but Jesus gave Peter this commission with reference to the flock of God. And he said these three things here in John 21, spread out over a few verses, but he said, feed my lambs, speaking to Peter, as a pastor. He's saying, Pastor Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And the Lord was saying to Peter, you're a pastor, and so your life is now about taking care of other people in my name. That's the work of a pastor. It's not to be entertaining. It's not to be charming. It's not to be a lot of things. I mean, first and foremost is to be authentic with Him. But it means to be poured out for the sake of others, to shepherd other people. And the pastor's model to look at, his pattern to look at, is Christ Himself. It's Jesus. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the pattern for every pastor. Some of the responsibilities of a pastor for your life, just in case you want to hold me accountable, or any other pastor accountable. First of all, to love. To love. Francis Chan one time said, if you're going to give up and give a message representing Jesus and you don't love the people that you're about to speak to, zip it and sit down. You got no business addressing anybody in Jesus' name you don't love. To love the flock, first and foremost. And to know people, to know the flock, just as Jesus knows those who are His. He knows the flock. So a pastor should know the flock. He should lead the flock. You know, God's given a pastor a vision, and he should lead the flock in that vision to spiritually feed by being true to the Word of God and living it out, and guarding the flock from error and from mistakes. To increase the flock, to do the work of an evangelist. A pastor is called to do that. And to rescue the sheep from their enemies. Those are a few. There's a lot of others. But God not only provides shepherds for His people, but in the flock of God, in God's flock, every shepherd is a sheep, and every sheep is also a shepherd. All of us. So you have the pastor, and the pastor is responsible for basically everybody. They are. They're responsible. They have to give an answer for all those that they're overseeing, for the whole flock. And then you also have elders who primarily are leaders within the church. They're shepherds also that lead spiritually especially. And then you have deacons who serve and also are leaders and shepherds. They carry out a lot of the physical tasks of the church. But every member, every person, every individual in the flock, in the church, is to be a shepherd of those that God has put you around. Whoever's in your circle of influence, whether it's at work or school or your neighborhood or your friends or wherever that is, it is intentional. The relationships that you have are not by accident. And part of it is for you to receive. Hopefully you've got some great friends who love you and pour into you and protect you and encourage you and bring joy to your life. But you're also to be pouring out and shepherding others as well. And really what that means is loving them like the great shepherd first and foremost. Loving them like Jesus loves them so that they see that it's real. All this Christianese stuff that we talk about, people have got to see it. They've got to see genuine love and bless them. Bless them, be generous in their life in serving other people and lead them to Jesus. Lead them to the great shepherd. And then, of course, for parents and grandparents, we're called to lead our kids and our grandkids to Christ as well, to shepherd them, to shepherd their hearts. God wants us to be faithful to guide people around us in His way, not in a forceful way or you know, I got to go out and smack somebody with my devotional, or, you know, until they pray, or, you know, nothing. I'm just saying, in God's timing, in God's way, just keep seeking Him and loving people, but be faithful to bring people to Jesus, to be a shepherd in their life, and to tell them, you know, God has a family, and that family is like a flock, and together, it's not a word we use much, but there's a sheepfold, there's a gathering, there's a people. And Jesus is inviting you. Let people know it's not my invitation. Jesus wants you to come. Jesus wants you to come and be part of the sheepfold so much that He died for you. And let people know that. Tell them. King David in the 23rd Psalm put it beautifully. And I'd like to just... if we could all say this together, and this is the New Living Translation that I've used, so it may be, I may get tripped up, so if I don't read what's on the slide, because I think I memorized this in the NIV, but this is in the, I just really like the way the New Living Translation words this, but if we could just say this together, and as we do that, just understand that these aren't just words. Let the Holy Spirit make this real for you. Make this real in your life, and in your heart, and in your mind, and to burn it there so that when you need to remember this, He can bring it to memory. And I don't know where everybody is tonight. I hope it's a good season for you. But maybe it's not. But even if it is, there's going to come a time that's going to be tough. And you're going to want to know this truth. This has got to be real for you. So if we could say this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Man, that is great news. That is awesome news. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd tonight. I hope, unless He isn't, unless you haven't put your trust in Him, I hope everybody's on the inside of the sheepfold, but maybe there's somebody here tonight who is on the outside looking in and saying, you know, that's beautiful, and I understand what it means, but I don't feel it in my heart. I don't know that that's me necessarily. The Bible says in Luke 15 that Jesus loved to hang out with sinners, and they loved to hang out with Him. There was a lot of religious folks who thought they were too holy for sinners, and the sinners didn't want to hang out with them because they didn't love them. They knew they didn't love them, but Jesus did. They wanted to be with Jesus. And these self-righteous people, these religious people, they try to call out Jesus. He tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. That image we saw earlier. He puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me! I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Maybe you're the one tonight instead of the 99. Maybe you haven't ever made it real for you. You've heard about Christ's forgiveness, but it's never been something that you've laid hold of personally. I want to give you a chance to do that if that's you tonight. Worship team, if you want to come on back up. And as they come up, I just want to pray this. And if you're here tonight and you've not put your trust in Jesus, I just want to encourage you to from your heart, you don't have to use these words, but maybe something along these lines, just from your heart to God's heart, because it's Him inviting you. It's not me. And just say something to the effect of, God, I've been a lost sheep. God, I've wandered away from you, and I've not been part of your sheepfold, but I want to be. Jesus, I hear that you love me, that you love sinners. You're looking for me. You're looking for the one who's been lost because you love me. Because you love me, and you don't want me to miss out on eternity with you. So you died to save me from my sins. God, I believe that that's true. And Lord Jesus, I turn to you now. I don't have all the answers, God, but just in simple faith, I turn to you. And God, I want to be done with my running away from you. I want to be done with trying to lead my own life and my own sufficiency. God, I just want to rejoice in your love and be forgiven, Lord. So I'm just asking you now and taking you at your word, God, that you want to forgive me. And Lord, I just receive that by faith right now, your forgiveness, that's all erased from my life because of your blood being shed for me on the cross, God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of eternal life, for the promise that I'm going to be with you for eternity, Lord. And I just pray, God, as I walk this out, even though I don't understand it completely, Lord, I just pray, help me to know you more. Help me to depend on you. Help me to see that you're with me, Lord, and help me to follow you this day and every day going forward, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.